Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. This will be chapter 3 on the formation, the structure, how atoms work anyway, what the evidence sort of indicates, and a model that does work. Seems logical anyway. And that's all we can do is deduce from what the evidence says. So there's features that atoms have. They combine, and they tend to repel each other too. So they can be in different forms, solids and liquids and gases, depending on circumstances. Some stuff combines with other stuff easily. Some stuff doesn't combine with other stuff very easily. There's only 100 or so configurations of charge. That, you know, electrons and protons, essentially, that create these atoms. It's sort of known from the evidence that neutrons aren't elemental, so they're made out of electrons and protons, substantially. And so they could just be modeled or understood as just being a dipole, an electron and a proton. And so it's just about arranging these charges. So in Chapter 2, charge was explained that you have these two elements, the one that doesn't show up very well and the one that does. Now, the positive, I guess we'll make that red, and the negative, which will be a pale green. Anyway, and they attract each other and they repel the same. So the opposites attract, the same repels. And you could understand that if you just thought of that as magnetic, that this was a north and a south, that you could end up with a very similar kind of effect. Just think of them as magnetic monopoles. And that you could arrange magnets in a certain way that they would balance each other's attraction and repulsion. So you could combine an electron or a proton. Either you could do this either way, where the attractive forces, the repulsion forces between these two protons would be mitigated by having this electron in between them. The two positives couldn't essentially see each other, and if they don't, out of sight, out of repulsion. So they could end up living right next to each other, even though they don't like each other at all, because there'd be very low pressure between them and very high pressure pushing them together. And that was explained in the Chapter 2 charge video. So if you just start with these kind of elements, this idea that they will arrange where the likes, the opposites attract and the similars repel, and you could create a circumstance if you thought of these as south poles, and you thought of this as a north pole magnet in between two pieces of glass, for example, you could understand that you could place them in an arrangement where it was stable. That if you pushed on this one, it would create extra pressure between these like, and and there would be attraction between these two, and these two, and these two, and these two. And that this system would stay stable, because nothing could ever go too deep without pushing on the other electrons and creating more pressure, pushing it back out. So unless you pushed in with a substantial force, you couldn't break this outer ring, so to speak. that there would be a counter force, essentially, to every force that would pull it in. And so it would be a stable relationship. And then the idea of sharing an electron, well, this is drawn with protons on the outside, so just never mind the drawing. So if I had a similar configuration, then I got to do this as the green. Details are important, but don't get lost in them. Anyway, you can understand that if I wanted to combine two of these atoms, that they could literally share a component. So a south pole could be literally shared. One of the magnets could be shared okay, by both atoms, and you could create a configuration where the pressures could equalize and stabilize, and everything, you know, the pressures pushing on the electrons would be equal throughout the system, and the attracting pressures would be equal throughout the system, and this is a way of creating compounds. Now, the atoms themselves, there's a feature where protons are not on this outside. So this drawing is incorrect in the sense that there's a feature about protons and electrons, a difference. And the difference is that their protons are always in the nucleus of an atom. I guess I'll just erase this and redraw. So I'll pause and be back momentarily. All right, I'm back. All right, so the evidence indicates that atoms have a structure, so it's not as simple as just pluses and minuses and sticking things together. So the idea would be is the atom has a nucleus, okay, of stuff that is close together, electrons and protons very tightly packed, and then it has extra electrons and positions outside of that nucleus that do the combining, that allow the atoms to share. Those are the electrons being shared, not the nuclear electrons. And so there is this key difference in that the protons, let's make protons black and then they'll show up better, I think. All right, so the electrons are now red and black will be the protons. So the protons are in inside the atom, and there's more protons than there are electrons inside the nucleus of the atom. So it's some sort of configuration like this. I think they call this a deuteron. All right, and that this is the elemental structure of all the other atoms, is this semi-hydrogen type molecule, and that, you know, two of those, hydrogen two, what the hell is that? Sound like a mouse. Can't be. Anyway, it's just not possible. Anyway, okay, so you have two positives and the negative in the middle, and you could count that as essentially two hydrogen atoms. So you have different amounts of, you can have hydrogen 2 and 4 and 3 and 7 and whatever. You can have different numbers of molecules that combine to form what is another type of molecule, a big molecule. And that would be what's actually the other atoms are created out of, is more than one of these. So technically each hydrogen atom would have an individual electron, but when they combine they're sharing the electron. So it's really two hydrogens, but they're sharing a common electron. So anyway, so this basic element is the beginning of the nucleus, and then you can sort of understand that I can just add more electrons to these different planes. So in the three dimensions, you could start just drawing the picture of where the electrons would be. So understanding that the electrons don't like each other, so they're going to pick locations that are going to be as far away from the nucleus that's a net positive. So that's the thing that needs to be understood. The nucleus ends up having twice as many protons as it has electrons, generally speaking. It's not a rule, but it's just generally speaking that the nucleus is going to be a net positive. So because the thing they call a neutron, we're not going to be bothered with it, is a positive and a negative, you know, stuck together, you could say. The positive is now black. Okay, yeah. It's truer to understand the electron as the positive because, you know, it's been mislabeled. But anyway, we won't try to fix that now. So you have three dimensions, and so you can sort of understand that dimensionally, those would be your options, spatial dimensions, forward, back, left, right, up, down, and things could be in these positions and be equal distant from each other in those positions. So you have a net positive nucleus, okay, more protons than electrons, by the 2-to-1 ratio. So I'll just draw it like that. It doesn't matter. And then orbiting that net positive, that net proton, extra proton, is the electrons, okay, and that they're going to pick, they're going to be in geometric locations that create balance. So if there's only 3 of them, they'll spread out to be in those dimensions. So there'll always be a geometry to their arrangement, you know, triangle, square, octagon, blah, blah, blah. Whatever, I can't think of the name of the pentagon. So forth. So there's only so much geometry before they start getting too close to each other, and it ain't going to work because they'll start to push each other out of the atom. So you can understand that as soon as I start creating this geometry, there's if I fill it with these 3, that I could put a 4th out here, and I could put another electron out here because there's still a net positive it can see. So it sees this electron, and it can see this electron, but the fact is this is closer, and it can see this, also. So it still sees the positive. Yes, it sees these 2 negatives, but now they're further apart than these 2 are. And so you can start understanding how, the geometry can get bigger and bigger and bigger in terms of creating what you would call orbitals, but there's nothing orbiting, okay? These circles of distance where the pressure remains even. And so as you go further and further out, things get less, they're further and further apart. But the pressure is maintained as being equalized from the inside out. And it's the outside electrons that you're really sharing in most cases, probably. I mean, it's probably possible to share one that's inside, but it's kind of a tricky arrangement, so you need special circumstances to create those kind of bonds. And that's sort of what the evidence indicates, that you have to do something with high temperature or high pressure or some other kind of circumstance to force bonds that are deeper into the atoms. So you can sort of understand the atoms are just bullseyes of sorts, and that what you're really just doing is combining them, by sharing an element, and that you could squeeze them closer where they share an element deeper in that arrangement. And so you have all kinds of structures that you can create. So there's only like 100 of these configured. You can sort of understand the limited number of geometric arrangements. And that's why there's only a certain number of atoms. And you can understand there's only a certain number of places that you can place them where you can create this even pressure in that system. So the active part of the atom is the electrons on the outside, because they're easy to get to and they're easy to manipulate and they're easy to push and all that stuff. The nucleus, because they're very close together, it's very hard to access, and the bonds that are tying everything together are very high pressure, so everything is really tight and really strong in terms of its geometry, rigid. And so it's a little harder to break that. So it's a little hard to smash into a nucleus and break it into clumps that could create new arrangements or atoms of a lesser density, a lesser mass. So this is the basic model that the atom is built out of. So it's just charge. It's just the features, those 2 features of charge, the opposites attracting and the sames repelling, that creates a mechanism to create shapes and geometric patterns in which these, you could argue, magnetic monopoles will be positioned where it's sustainable, where it's durable. So these are kind of just durable geometric configurations of little round monopoles of magnetism, and you can just sort of understand that once you arrange that in space, you could push on it in one place or push on it in another place, and it's not going to break the structure because all the particles in the arrangement are communicating with each other with the force described in chapter 2, that at the speed of light there will be pressure conveyed. So I could make the argument that it's sort of like two ping pong paddles could be your two protons or two electrons, and that what there is the force is trapped between them, bouncing back and forth, and that force, the same color force, the positive force for the positive objects, negative force for the negative objects, just like a ping pong ball between two paddles. The closer I get, the more impacts, and that means the more momentum being given to the objects to head in the opposite direction. And the further apart they are, the slower that communication, the less the pressure is, the less impacts. So the pressure would increase with proximity and at the inverse square law. All right, that's that. And so I'll erase and see if there's anything else I need to point out. All right, so summarizing some of the features. So the protons are in the nucleus because either they're heavier, so they just move less. When they're hit with a piece of force, they gain less speed. Okay, so they're more massive, however you want to describe that. So they end up being in the nucleus because they can't be moved distance readily. So it's either there's less proton force, or the protons themselves are just heavier. Just turns out that way. So they end up in the nucleus, and they don't end up, you don't end up with the anti-atom idea of having a excess of electrons and then protons orbiting, or positrons, or some other kind of weird, made-up kind of notion of some inverse. This is the way the matter and the chemistry works, and there is no anti-chemistry. There's no doppelganger kind of, we don't have opposite humans running around. So it's just the way it works out. So the electrons are doing the action. The electrons are the things that are going to be affected by things like photons and, other manifestations, magnetism, other manifestations of gravity. I shouldn't say magnetism, because magnetism has to do with the polarity created by the atom. So another feature. So the protons are in the center, and they're very small, very close together, so the nucleus is really tiny. And the electrons make up the surface, the shell of an atom. But you could understand that from different perspectives, from this line of sight, I could see this positive, the proton, this from here. Because I won't see the electrons as much, and I'll see directly to the proton. And you can understand from other locations, I'm going to see the electron. So from this location, this atom is going to look negative, because I'm going to see the electron. From this location, it's going to look positive. And so you can understand that that's essentially polarity. And it means that all atoms are, multipolaric from different perspectives. They can look different ways. And it just really has to do with how much you see of each. We'll decide whether the atom is a net positive or a net negative in terms of its overall, what its average impression is going to be. So yes, now and then it could come at you showing it's positive, but more often you're going to see the negative because of the number of electrons it has. So it really just depends on arranging atoms. So if you want to combine two atoms, you can have an atom that's missing this electron, for example, and you can understand that that gives it a very strong positive point of view. Oops, from this location it would look very positive. And so you could understand how just by random contact with other atoms, if another atom has, comes in contact with its one of its electrons exposed, that it would be fairly easy for that electron to slide into this position and both the atoms just stop moving. So the momentum would be absorbed, they would swing around, they would do some stuff, but because of that shared electron, they would stay connected. And so you can understand how atoms would, as they have momentum, as they interact with each other, they would heat each other in ways that it would allow them to combine. And even in circumstances where, you know, the net atom is generally shielded by a bunch of electrons that'll say don't combine with another atom because you're repelling each other. So all the atoms repel naturally because the electrons are on the outside, but at certain locations, as the atom moves, it looks positive. It looks like something you can attach to, and so you could attach as long as you don't have too much momentum. The two things can hit each other and create that shared electron. Alright, but that's the basic mechanism. So, you know, motion's going to have a lot to do with it, how you move these things, but the key ingredient's going to be that everything's in this position, but everything is still being hit by this, all this energy from the universe. And so at any one moment, everything in here is jiggling, okay? Its position is moving. And that would be argued is the infrared radiation everything excretes, is because everything is jiggling, everything is pushing and into the universe, pushing force, and in the other side, you know, evacuating, separating the force. So it's condensing it and with its forward motion, and it's expanding it as it moves forward. And so with every movement, you can see that it's sending an on here, you know, a compression this way. And when it moves this way, it's sending an off. And it's doing exactly the opposite to the other side, where it's sending an off and then an on. And so all the movement is critical to what you're going to see if you're an observer. So if you're out here observing, you're going to see some signal, okay, in the sense that this is vibrating and it's compressing and relaxing the force. So a lot of force hits you and then no force hits you, and then a lot of force hits you and then no force hits you. So that's all part of how these things have to settle into positions with each other and combine by, you know, sharing what you could be argued is a monopole of magnetism. Alright, so that's probably enough. And for the structure of atoms anyway, you know, I mean, you could understand that these nucleuses would be created in very high pressure circumstances inside of suns, you know, where there's a huge amount of pressure pushing all in, forcing them all together, and that once you have them in the relationship, these are the geometric configurations that once they leave the sun and leave the high pressure, they're still durable because they've been cleaned of nuance and irregularity. They've been forced to become very regular and precise in their positions. And there's 100 or so arrangements that you can take them out of high pressure and they'll survive. Just like there's some sea creatures that live at the bottom of the ocean, and some of them, you bring them to the surface and they explode, they die. And then some of them, you know, are evolved to be more durable and can survive changes in pressure. All right, anyway, yeah, that's probably enough. Okay, so next will be probably something like getting into the subject of what exactly a photon is, how the movement of these electrons, that every single movement changes what's happening in the field, that is the rest of the universe, what kind of image it's sending, what kind of reflections essentially are coming off of all these objects. Just as this reflection changes with motion, so too does the one atom's view of another atom based on how much its electrons and protons are moving. All right. So, till the next time and such, This has been DraftPhysics.com video presentation, Chapter 3, Atoms and Such.